Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. And it is Pentecost Sunday. I love social media because I like just lighting the thing of dynamite on social media and just ticking everybody off. And then a lot of them come at me in the comments, which I have no problem with because I don't have to respond. But I love the ones that come at me privately. And so yesterday I put something about, like, if you go to a church and your pastor only preaches about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, it's not a Pentecostal church. You have a pastor that used to be Pentecostal, but he's not Pentecostal no more. So one of my peers had a problem with that, and instead of doing it publicly, he came to me privately, which is fine. And I just messaged back, if you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. And he saw it and never responded. So you keep doing your Holy Ghost message once a year, and we'll keep doing ours every time we meet. Praise God. But it is Pentecost Sunday, and I have planned this. We're in our Walking with God series, and we are going to talk about walking in the Spirit. We're going to get to the Holy Ghost in just a little bit. Have you ever heard that scripture that says, quench not the Spirit? We're going to unwrap that in a major way in a little bit, because a lot of us in here, most of us in here, I believe are filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's a lot of us that we're filled with that Spirit, but we're not letting that Spirit do exactly what it wants to do. So we're going to take our hands off the steering wheel, and I believe and declare before we leave today, people are going to be filled for the first time, and people are going to be refilled, and praise God. And this happens every Sunday. We had a gentleman by the name of George. God laid him on his back, filled him with the Holy Ghost last Sunday. He got up and said, man, I'm telling everybody I know. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about Jubilee real quick. I know you're standing. God's not done. It's Jubilee year. And one of our members told this to Pastor Mandy on Wednesday night. I had a student loan. How many of you have ever had a student loan? Little hand, don't be shy, because if it's forgiven, it don't matter if you got one. My student loan was 100% forgiven. See, I knew y'all's applause was going to be weak, because it's not your loan. But let me put a dollar amount on it. $102,940 forgiven. Another gentleman stopped me on Wednesday night, and I've been walking this road and praying for him and standing with him. Had multiple felony charges against him. His bonds were almost $300,000. And he went and stood before the judge this past week. Every charge was dropped. Every charge was dropped. And can I just talk to the Pharisee spirit in the building that said, well, if he did it, well, let me just remind you, you and I committed crimes. You and I were going to hell. But when Jesus covered us, it was like we never did it. So just off the top of my head, God has forgiven over $400,000 of debt. And I'm next, praise God. And you are next. My goodness. That fires me up, y'all. That fires me up when God starts working where you know he's having to put his thumb on judges' hearts and decision makers' hearts. It is not too difficult for God to work a miracle in your life. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. I don't, but I know our God, and I know how great he is. Let's turn in the word of God to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will promise, that you will possess. Walk in obedience to all that God has commanded. When you walk in all obedience, total obedience, you will live, you will prosper, and God will prolong your life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am walking with God. I am walking with God. Somebody say obedience. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Walking in obedience requires, walking with God requires obedience. We've covered it these last few sessions. Obedience is not a one-time act. It is a journey. For those that just stood at the front of this building, they've got a lot of obedience in front of them because they're young. And I've learned that the more I obey with God, the more that I obey God, the easier it is to walk with God. I find myself struggling with my walk when I'm walking in disobedience. Eugene Peterson said this: discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. Can I encourage those of you that you just started your walk with God? I don't want to discourage you, but I want to encourage you by saying this: it is a long walk, it is a hard journey, but it is possible with Jesus. If you bring Jesus into your walk with God, you can walk anywhere, you can walk through the fires of hell, you can walk through the storms of life and come out on the other side with a testimony. But God is not forcing us to obey. God is leading us. Leading is not. That's why it's an important thing. God, I know I don't have to, but God, I'm just obedience. Last session, we started talking about walking and the different ways that we can walk. Started talking about walking and the different ways that we can walk. And Amos chapter 3 says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? If you are going to walk with God, there's some people that you're not going to be able to walk with. If you're going to follow Jesus, there's some people you're going to have to quit following. And by quit following, I might even mean who you follow on Instagram. Your Instagram's betraying y'all. Because it shows up on my Instagram, the kind of stuff you're liking and who you're following. And I'm thinking, why would a follower follow that person? They've got zero fruit. They don't wear clothes. So to walk with God, if I'm going to walk with him, there's going to be decisions I have to make about them. And if we are not walking the same direction, we are not walking in agreement. If you're not in agreement with him, I know that you're not going to be in agreement with me. And I'm going to have to walk away from you so that I can follow him, so I can walk with him. Henry Blackaby says, you cannot stay where you are and go with God. When we talk about aligning our will with God's will, we first have to align with his character. That's why the term Christian has become way too diluted. I was listening to Pastor Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas this morning as I was getting ready for church, and he said something I had never thought of before. He said, and he was preaching on being the salt of the earth, he said, if salt is supposed to season, and 25% of our nation, come on now, says that they are Christians, why aren't we flavoring our culture more than we're flavoring our culture? And then he said this, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, and I am not questioning whether they are salt. He said, I'm questioning whether they've ever made it out of the shaker. Some of us are salt, but we are living in the shaker. But let me tell you something. God wants to sprinkle you into this world so that you and I can make a holy difference on the places God has called us to live and abide in. So I want to encourage you today, get off of the shelf of life and get out of the silo and the shakers and let God use you. You cannot stay where you are and go with God. Walking in agreement takes focus, focusing on surrendering our will for God, not our will, but your will, focusing on confessing God's way and not our way. Every day of your life and my life, we ought to wake up, church, and we ought to say, God, it is all about you today and not about me. It is about where you want me to go and not about where I want to go. It's about what you have called me to accomplish in the next 16 hours that I will be awake, and not just selfishly what I want to do, confessing God's way and not ours. And focusing on the covenant that we made with God. And that's where we finished last session, talking about the covenant that we made with God. When you get married, realize that you're not making a covenant with a person only. First and foremost, you're making a covenant with God. When you realize you're making a covenant with God, it will slow your engagements down. God, I can promise to her, but I can break that promise in 6 years if it don't work out. But when we make covenants to God now, we are talking to a God that he never changes. That means the only way that this covenant can be broken is if I choose to change or you choose to change. So focusing on the covenant. Next, we want to talk this morning before we get to walking in the Spirit. And I won't spend a lot of time on this because it deserves its own series if need be. But we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I know a lot of people who are following or attempting to follow God blindly. And they're acting as if they don't see what is happening in the world, but also they have turned a blind eye to God. Because here's the thing, to really see what God wants you to see, sometimes you got to close your physical eyes. That's why in the middle of worship, a lot of times I close my eyes so that I can forget about all of y'all and I can forget about what's on the screen and I can lose myself in that moment and I can never see more clearly spiritually than when I close my physical eyes. That's why the greatest studying that I do is not on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. The greatest devotion time I have is not with the brethren at 6 a.m. on a Thursday. My greatest time spent with God is when it's just me and him in a room and everything else has faded from my physical eyesight and I can begin to see into the heart of God and into the future of this imperfect man. We must learn how to focus. This seems like an oxymoron, but we must learn to focus on the invisible. That's what faith really is. It's focusing on the invisible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You do not need evidence to have faith. A lack of evidence is proof that you are walking in faith, that I should not have the peace that I have. It makes no sense, but I'm gonna have peace anyway. I should not have the joy that I have. It does not make any sense, but I'm gonna have joy anyway. I might have gotten a bad report from the doctor, but that's not going to break my stride or my focus. I'm going to be healed anyway. It is focusing on the invisible. Church, if we can ever get to where we can focus on the invisible, our walk with God will be so strong that there's not a demon in hell that could ever break it. Somebody say, I'm walking by faith. And finally, we get to walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 2 verses 16 and 25. If you were to ask me, at any time, what my favorite portion of scripture would be, Galatians 5 is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. The book of Galatians is in my top three books in the entire Bible. And I probably read Galatians chapter 5 or quote it to myself at least 6 or 8 times a week. It is my favorite portion of scripture. Walk in the Spirit, and I think it's my favorite portion of scripture because I struggle to walk in the Spirit and I need to hear it or read it. Multiple times. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have you ever, and even if you've never verbalized it, have you ever been frustrated that God made a lot of gray areas in the Bible about certain topics? And the gray areas allow people that don't know Jesus and don't read their word to just come up with their own religion? Well, there's a lot of those in the Bible, but this is not one of those. This is very cut and dry, black and white. Walk in the Spirit. So if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So anytime you flesh out, you're telling on yourself, I'm not walking in the Spirit. Anytime I'm walking in the Spirit, I get a confidence in God because I know while I'm in the Spirit, I can't flesh out. So when you lost your temper in traffic the other day, when you popped off to your husband or your wife the other night, when you thought something crazy about your boss or your supervisor, when you cheated on your taxes, when you were looking at pornography, when you made money your God, those are all lust of the flesh. Which means when any of those, whether it's gossip or pornography or somewhere in between, anytime we as believers, we do those things, we are announcing to the world, hell, and heaven, I'm not walking in the Spirit today. Which makes you a sitting duck and makes the target this much bigger on your life. That is why Living Way will always be a Holy Ghost church, because we need to get you used to being filled with the Spirit and around spiritual people. We need to get you to understand that it doesn't take a worship team to get you in the Spirit, praise God. And it doesn't take a good sermon to get us in the Spirit. But once you get the Spirit of God in you, you don't have to get in the Spirit because you're a carrier of the Spirit. It was the John the Revelator who said, it was the Lord's day and I got into the Spirit. He wasn't sitting in the church. He wasn't hearing a bishop preach. There was no prophetic voice being spoken to him. He is sitting on an island waiting for death. And he said, I feel like I'm going to get into the Spirit in the middle of all of this craziness. Can I talk to somebody today? I love Sundays, but I need you to get in the Spirit on a Monday. And I love worship services, but the courtroom needs your Spirit. The classroom needs your Spirit. Your family reunion needs your Spirit. If you walk, not stand, if you walk in the Spirit, because God is always moving, remember, you can't stay where you are and go with God. You can't stand still and walk with God. We're talking about walking with God, not standing with you, not standing with God, walking with God. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somebody say amen. Amen. We must learn that as we walk in the Spirit, walking is going to give way to a lifestyle. Lifestyle, that phrase has become so perverted in our culture. It's their lifestyle. Well, lifestyles can be chosen. Lifestyles can be changed. There are people in this room that grew up severely poor and way below the poverty line, and thank God you are not there anymore, but God has blessed you and God has brought you up. And you are now living in homes and driving cars that your great-grandparents would be shocked to see how well you have done and God has done in your life. You changed your lifestyle. There are people sitting in this room today that when I first met you, it was F-bomb after F-bomb. And now it's Jesus this and Jesus that. We couldn't find you with a search warrant on Sundays at 11 o'clock. And now, if you don't show up, we wonder, how can we have church without you here? You changed your lifestyle. Walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go to verse 25. If we live in the Spirit. See, it's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the day that marks 50 days after Jesus ascended. There was 120 people in the upper room, 500 originally, but 380 people got tired of sitting there. 380 people couldn't wait for the Lord, so we know they weren't going to walk with the Lord. Oh, don't get quiet now. 380 people. As a young pastor, I wanted every service. I wanted them swinging from the chandeliers. I wanted no spots left. I wanted them put out in the aisles and chairs set out in the lobbies. And let's put speakers out in the parking lot. And I believe we're still headed there before Jesus comes back. But when I really look to the Word of God, God worked miracles in the middle of 20,000. But He dropped His Spirit in a room with 120 people. I am here to tell you, I want Living Way to be the biggest and best it's ever been. But all I really need is for some people to show up and say, I will wait on God so that when God shows up, I can walk with Him. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walking leads to a correct lifestyle. Walking with God means us letting go. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you got to let it go. What is it? Some of it, it's past. You got to let those things go. You're bitter. You're harboring unforgiveness. Let those things go. You can't walk forwards and look backwards. God is not going that way. He's going that way. So you can't look backwards and move forward. You say, well, you don't know what's behind me. At the end of the day, does it matter what's behind you and what's in front of you? So we let go of past, but we also have to let go of control. I'm speaking to myself right now. How many of you are control freaks? Just raise your hand. How many of you are sitting next to a control freak that doesn't know they're a control freak or will not raise their hand? I encourage you to become the control freak and raise their hand for them right now. There you go. If you're going to walk with God, church, we got to let go. And when I say let go and let God, it is more than a cliche. And I'm not just talking about your finances, and I'm not just talking about the blessing of God. I'm talking about your creative purpose. God has called us to be disciples. God has called us to go into the world. God has called us to lay our hands on the head of the sick and they shall recover. God has called us to cast out demons. That doesn't happen with you sitting at home looking backwards. That happens with somebody who is walking in the Spirit, full of the Spirit, living the Spirit of God. Got to let it go. Let the past go. Let the control go. What does a spirit-led life require? Three things. Number one, if you're taking notes, if you are going to walk with God and be led of the Spirit, and remember to be led of the Spirit, we need you to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to, number one, you've got to daily surrender. Days other than Sunday. Listen, this hour and a half, this is the easiest hour and a half of your week. I'll never remember it. Graduates, I was thinking about this, and I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it now because it works in the confines of this message. But I didn't want to rain on your parade. But I was high-fiving my friends May 28, 2000, when I graduated high school. 25 years, y'all. I can't believe I'm that old. High-fiving my friends, saying, man, we're not going to be like everybody else. We're going to stay friends. We're going to stay close. Man, I ain't talked to them knuckleheads in a long, most of them since that night. Man, so excited. I remember bounding down those steps off that platform graduation. And my mentor clapped me on the back and he said, congratulations, Mr. Fender. You just completed the easiest 18 years of your life. And all of that excitement, it was like he popped a balloon. Because he knew that the life in front of me, although it could be very rewarding, was going to be very taxing. And it was going to require a lot. He is a spirit-filled man. So he knew that what was in front of me was the calling and the purpose of God. And he knew how hard it was going to be to wake up every day and lay Brandon down and crucify my flesh so that I can say yes to his will and his spirit and his purpose. Daily surrender. Begin each day with prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to lead. Live each day with purpose, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. And live each day with power, allowing the Holy Spirit to work. Daily surrender. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, give or offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Every day, not just the day you got saved. Not in an emotional moment on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning, and you get emotional, you come to the altar and you say, I give you my life, God, because it sounds good, but what really happens is we give God our life at 12:25, and then before we get in our truck or car to go home, we sneak back in the building, we get our life, and we pick it back up and we take it. It's amazing to me, the moment that we start feeling uncomfortable, we take control back. And if you're going to walk with God and be full of the Spirit, you cannot do that. The Spirit has to be in control. A Spirit-led life begins with daily surrender. Number two, you've got to feed the Spirit and starve your flesh. That's why it requires daily surrender. How many of you are going to eat a good lunch in just a few moments? You can go to Outback. You can go to P.F. Chang's. You can go to Papa Do's. You can go to Raising Cane's. If you go to Raising Cane's, you better get extra sauce with all that bland chicken they got. If you work at Raising Cane's, I'm sorry. But you could eat a big lunch this afternoon. You could eat everything on the table. No matter how much you eat, no matter how good it was, later on today or first thing in the morning, you're going to be hungry. That's what daily surrender looks like, church. You can have a great moment on Sunday. You can surrender everything to Jesus on Sunday. But on Monday, your spirit's going to be hungry. Tomorrow afternoon, even if you eat a good lunch, your spirit's going to be hungry. It takes daily feeding your spirit, starving your flesh. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. Number three, stay in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, we just read it. We live by the Spirit, so let us keep in step with the Spirit. And let me just say this next part. I believe God gave it for me. Because it's something I'm struggling with right now, but I'm going to give it to you as a church because I think somebody else is going to be encouraged. When we talk about staying in step with the Spirit, it's not about speed. It's about rhythm. It's not about speed. It's not about you getting there as quick as you can. It's not about, God, I just want to blow through this because it's difficult for me. It's not about speed. It's about rhythm. And rhythm leads to momentum. Momentum is moments that God stacks, and it's that ebb and flow. And right now, you're in an ebb season where it feels like everything's being drawn back, but there is about to be a flow in your life where you are going to spring forward if we stay in step with the Spirit. In Francis Chan's book, and what a brilliant mind God has given us in Francis Chan in this dispensation of time. He wrote a book called Forgotten God, Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. This is what Francis writes. If it's true that the Spirit of God dwells in us as believers, and he does, praise God, that our bodies are the Holy Spirit's temple, then shouldn't there be a huge difference between the person who has the Spirit of God living inside of him and one who does not? There is something happening in our world where we've got a lot of people saying they're Christians and a lot of people saying they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But I have come not to judge you today, but I have come to inspect some fruit. And the fruit that I'm seeing is such of those that are lying through their teeth. And you might have been around Holy Ghost people and you might attend a Holy Ghost church, but you haven't let the Holy Ghost inside of you yet. And I am here to tell you, we need the Holy Ghost not on you on a Sunday. We need it in you Monday through a Saturday, your school, your job, your family, everywhere God puts you, we need that Spirit of God working in you, which leads us to 1 Thessalonians for the last 2 minutes. Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. When we talk about quenching the Spirit, we are talking about refusing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, refusing to walk with God and ignore conviction. Never heard it like that before, but quenching the Spirit, you're really just ignoring conviction. It's the Holy Spirit of God saying stop, and you keep going. The Holy Spirit saying break up with him, and you keep dating or worse. The Holy Spirit says don't leave that job you got now because you're going to make an extra $300 a week. Because you're going to meet somebody at that new $300 a week job that's going to mess up your marriage, which means it's going to mess up your kids. Which means it's going to mess up your future. Which means it's going to mess up your legacy. All because the Holy Spirit said, hey, stop, slow down. Not speed, rhythm, getting in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what maturity really looks like as a believer. This is going to help somebody. Maturity as a believer, when we were immaturity as a believer, as a new believer, and I once was a new believer, this is what immaturity looks like. It's the Holy Spirit convicting us, and us not knowing it's the Holy Spirit. So then listen to this. This is what immaturity really looks like. It's us praying about what the Holy Spirit is already directing us to do or not do. So the Holy Spirit puts a check in our spirit on Monday afternoon. Then we spend the next 3 weeks praying about what the Holy Spirit just told us to do. That's what immaturity looks like. What does maturity look like? Maturity looks like I don't even have to break stride, but when the Holy Spirit starts talking to me and says stop, I stop and I don't move until he says it again. When he says turn right, I turn right. When he says go 45 degrees to the right, I know. I don't have to stop and pray about it. I know the Spirit's voice because I'm full of the Spirit. I walk with the Spirit. I live with the voice of God. He talks to me. I talk to him. And so I'm no longer immature. I am mature, meaning I can hear God, work, walk, do all of that simultaneously. This is how I know that my spirit is not as strong as I think it is sometimes. Because when I'm driving down the road and I'm looking for an address, homeboy, your boy here still has to turn down the podcast volume so I can see straight. Anybody ever been looking for an address? You had to turn the music down. Because what you are hearing is not matching what you're seeing, and you've got to turn it off. If you're going to see what God wants you to see, you're going to have to be led of the Spirit. For you to be led of the Spirit, you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. For you to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to have to take your hands off of the steering wheel. And today, I believe, is the day for dozens of us in this place to say, not my will, but your will be done. But for that to happen, God, I'm removing my hands off of the steering wheel, and I'm going to let God lead. I'm going to let God lead. Give me one more minute. I'm out of time. One more minute. To quench the Spirit means to resist him. We always talk about resist the devil and he will flee from you. So algebra just teaches me. If you do one thing on one side of the equation, the inverse thing is done on the other side. If resisting the devil makes him step away and say, have at it. What do you think resisting the Holy Spirit does? Wow. Oh, you know better than me? Have at it. Go ahead and marry that person without me. Oh, it's getting quiet. Go ahead and raise those kids. Teach them that sports is their God.
Teach them that there's nothing greater than money. Teach them that if it feels good, do it. But you're not going to do that with the Holy Ghost. So when you resist the devil, he flees. And when you resist the Holy Spirit says, do your thing. I'm going to be over here and I'm going to keep reminding you, hey, I'm here when you need me. Hey, I'm still speaking to you, but I cannot. And listen, if you are going to be a person that does whatever the heck your flesh wants to do, quit calling yourself a Christian. Quit calling yourself a believer. Tell them you go to some other church. Don't tell them you come to Living Way. We want those of us that walk out of this building today that when we say we're led of the Spirit, meaning, God, I'm full of your Spirit and I don't do what I want to do. It's said that quenching the Spirit leads to dead orthodoxy. Religion without relationship. Religion without relationship, religion without power, religion without presence. The great Charles Spurgeon says this, when the Spirit of God is gone, then everything is done mechanically. There is no, here's a word from the old church, there is no unction. There is no power. God save us from spiritual or spiritless religion. I don't ever want it to be mechanical. I was telling a friend of mine, this is 10 or 15 years ago, I said, you ever hear so-and-so preach? And who I was telling is a preacher now, one of the best I know. It's a friend of mine, and I said, you ever hear so-and-so preach? He said, no, I haven't. I said, man, dude can preach like a machine. And I meant that in the best way possible. And this guy, who's my elder, looked at me and he goes, Brandon, preaching should never be mechanical. Man, it just hurt me. I was giving this dude, he said, so what you're saying is that he just flips the switch on and he just says what he says and then he just goes back. Is there no feeling? Is there no prayer? Is there no weeping? Is there no spirit? Is there no unction? Charles Spurgeon, many decades ago, he was looking at his culture saying there is a danger of spiritless religion. What would Charles Spurgeon say in 2025? Would he walk in this building and say, what a great light show. Oh, this is a church. That's an amazing movie screen. Oh, this is a church? Don't get it twisted, church. We are Holy Ghost filled people. Living Way is known as that church. And we are beginning to see churches in our city, from the top to the bottom, the biggest to the smallest, these pastors that were raised in a dead, dry religion, they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a powerful thing because it's no longer mechanical, it's spiritual. When we quench the Holy Spirit, standing on your feet, church, when we quench the Holy Spirit, this is going to be tough to hear. When we quench the Holy Spirit, we stop the Holy Spirit over here. We release unholy spirits. They cannot move at the same time. So your life either becomes a playground or a working room. A playground for adversarial spirits or a working space for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and an unholy spirit cannot abide in the same place. That is why you better build up yourself praying in the Holy Ghost. There's no room for anything else. If you're taking notes, this is something that I will never forget. As I wrote it down this week, going back through these notes, when we quench the Holy Spirit, we allow demons to come through doors we would not let Jesus lock. When you quench the Spirit, we allow demons into doors that we would not let Jesus lock. And then we have the nerve to whine to Jesus about devils we're facing that he said, I wanted to lock the door and you wouldn't let me. Or I locked the door and you let them back in. This message today on quenching the Spirit is not just to let the Holy Spirit move in you on a Sunday. It is a lifestyle. But it is also, we want that Spirit moving in you so that there's no room for the adversarial spirit. Quenching the Spirit isn't always loud. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's a silenced prompting of the Spirit. Sometimes it's a prayer withheld. That one hurt me when I read that. A truth unspoken, an opportunity or that you ignore, or obedience delayed. But every no we say to the Holy Spirit of God, it dampens His flame in and around us. Where does depression start? Quenching of the Spirit. Where does anxiety start? Quenching of the Spirit. Where does unforgiveness start? Quenching of the Holy Spirit of God. Where does bitterness start? Quenching of the Spirit. As a Christian, you can't walk around with a chip on your shoulder. Chips are for queso, not for shoulders. And we're walking around with a scowl on our face, looking like we're headed to hell, when heaven is our goal and we are supposed to be full of the Spirit of God, and we are in worse shape than a lot of unbelievers because we're quenching the Spirit. I'm going to end with one statement from Watchman Nee. The greatest tragedy of a Christian life is not unanswered prayers, but unoffered prayers because of the quenched Spirit. When I read that quote, and I'm a big Watchman Nee fan, read a lot of his work. When I read that quote, I thought, man, I love to talk about the prayers that have been answered. But that one hit me in the gut because I started to think, there's a lot of prayers that were never answered because they were never offered. And they're never offered because of a quenched spirit. I want to open this altar right now for anyone in the room. Says, Pastor Brandon, walking with God is the paramount issue of my life right now. I want to walk with Him closer than I've ever walked with Him before. I want to follow Him. I want to do what He's called and created me to do. I understand how important it is, and so I don't want to wait. I don't want to stop. I don't want to slow down. I want to make sure that I am stride for stride, here it is again, in rhythm with Jesus. As they come to this altar today, every step you make is a step where you're getting in rhythm with Jesus. Here's my friend that was filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday right there. And I believe he's the first domino. He is the seed to dozens that are going to be refilled and filled today. Come on in and get as close as you can to this altar. Get as close as you can to this altar. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands. Go ahead and start ministering. Go ahead and start encouraging. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment. But I wanted to make sure that this first wave, we knew who was going to be joining us this first wave. But now I'm talking to those of you that are still in your seats today. And I want to put a holy pressure on you today. If you have felt the Spirit of God, if you've been filled with the Spirit of God, but you feel like it is not as hot, it is not as stirred up as it once was, I'm here to tell you that on this Pentecost Sunday, God Himself, just like He did in the upper room, is about to meet us here today. And you might have walked in here weak, but you're going to leave strong. And you might have walked in confused, but you're going to leave with clarity. And you might have walked in here anxious, you're going to leave with peace. Fearful, you're going to leave with faith. All of that happens when you get so much of the Spirit of God in you and on you that the enemy has to leave and cannot stay. It's time that you start quenching the enemy's control and releasing the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be refilled today, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and to join us in this at this platform. And they're coming out of their seats now. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. This is your chance. God bless you, young people. God bless you, man of God. I see you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for being obedient to God's moving. Thank you for being obedient to the unction of the Holy Spirit. As our team lays hands and prays and anoints, I'm going to step off this platform and add my faith too. But here we go. I need everyone in this altar to lift both hands right now and say, Jesus, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit right now. Tell him I relinquish control. Tell him I let go of control. I let go of my past so that I can embrace your spirit from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Fill me with the same spirit that the apostles received, that the disciples received, the same spirit that was in that upper room, the same spirit that raised you from the dead. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to experience it. In the name of Jesus, if you're in this room today and you need Jesus, this is your moment. Salvation, empowering of the Holy Spirit, baptism in water. Right now, it's your time. It's your time. Graduates, it's your time. If you've never been baptized and you're going off to college, let's make it happen today. As you follow Jesus, you learn to walk with Jesus. As you walk with Jesus, praise God, you live with him. It'll change your life. I'm laying this microphone down. This is your chance, your moment. Let's worship. Let's pray.